Our member forum will immediately follow our featured speaker. That was what Cheryl was talking about. And our speaker is none other than our own Mary Bricker Jenkins. Mary will set the stage for our upcoming June 20th Poor People's Campaign Action and also review the actions that we're being asked to take now. Mary, thank you so much for your organizing with this important movement partner. And I believe your mic is open. If we're live.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we are. Yeah.
Okay, then I'm open. And thank you. Thank you, everybody, for being here tonight to share a lot of exciting things that are going on and some that are actually very troubling. And it's so important that we stay together during these moments so that we can create a vision of the different kind of world that we've been dreaming about for so long. I want to say that, you know, I am sort of the official liaison with the Poor People's Campaign, but I'm not a coordinator. We have so many people in WILP who have been connected with the campaign and doing so many things. Some of you are on the phone tonight, and I'm hoping that after I say a few words and then turn things over to Jan Quarterman, that we can all talk a bit about why we are doing what we're doing and what it's meant to us and what we hope for as a result of our participation. You know, Nancy Price has been involved in the beginning. I just found out the other day that that Reverend Rowan from California is actually on one of the national committees. I popped on a collective call a couple of weeks ago, and there was Linda Lemon on the call, and the Triangle Branch has been involved, deeply involved with the campaign since before it was a campaign. You may have read in the E-News Dorothy Van Soest's wonderful little article a couple of weeks ago, and there are others, and I hope you'll identify yourself. So many of us have been involved. Jan Quarterman signed on as our digital liaison, our digital social media liaison a couple of months ago, and has been doing a fabulous job, and she's going to tell us about some of the things that that she and her team have been able to do and what you can do to promote the campaign, not just now, but for a very long time. It's going to take us a long time to get where we need to be with this campaign. It is a campaign. It is not yet a movement, and we need to build a movement. So I'm going to say a lot of things that I said the other day on the program call. So if you've heard me say all of these things, you might want to go get a cup of coffee or a martini and come back in 5 minutes. But I can certainly appreciate and will appreciate having a dialogue with all of you afterwards. So the Poor People's Campaign, the official name of it is the Poor People's Campaign, A National Call for Moral Revival, was launched in 2018 on the 50th anniversary of the original Poor People's Campaign that was envisioned by Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King before he died. WILF US was among the first organizations to partner formally with this current campaign. And nearly every branch participated in the educationals and actions that culminated on the National Mall and the steps of the U.S. Congress in June of 2 years ago. During that period, many of our members risked arrest during the 40 days of nonviolent direct action that preceded that gathering, which, by the way, was the largest national coordinated civil disobedience in the United States, in United States history. We were introduced in that period to the concept of fusion organizing. We studied the principles and the demands of the campaign. And some of us remembered the hope and the mud of the original Resurrection City and the very keenly felt absence of Dr. King, who had been murdered in Memphis less than 2 months earlier. Today, as this world explodes in the righteous rage at the state-sponsored murder of yet another Black person, all of us need to remember the impetus for this campaign. At the annual retreat of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference in May of 1967, that occurred at Frogmore, South Carolina, King said, this is a quote, "We have moved from the era of civil rights to the era of human rights." To claim those rights, he set about organizing across color lines to achieve the necessary, and again a quote, "radical redistribution of economic and political power." He had begun what he called the era of revolution, a moral revolution that would ensure that everyone's basic human needs would be met, everyone's, including dignity, safety, and the basic human needs for survival, which, by the way, are encapsulated in the Covenant on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights that the Advancing Human Rights Committee has taken up. It actually began there when the AHR was first formed. So I'm hoping we can talk a little bit about that later on. I want to emphasize what King said. He wanted a revolution organized across color lines and led by the poor. He specifically said that the civil rights campaign may have ensured that he could go to a restaurant and sit down and have a meal, but only if he could afford it. That sign on the restaurant door may no longer say whites only, but there was a menu on there with prices, and there were entirely too many people, of color and poor whites who would not be able to afford anything in that restaurant, whose doors were finally open after so many years of struggle. That was so important to him that he said, we have to unite the bottom. This revolution has to be led by the poor, not because poor people are more willing to die than anybody else, although they do die. Poor people do die at greater rates than others, than those who have the means for health care and the basic needs for survival. But he said, the only true revolutionary is, quote, the man who has nothing to lose. I'm sure he would say man or woman today. The man who has nothing to lose. Again, it's not that they're more willing to die, but because the necessary demands of people who are living in poverty are in per se revolutionary. They are dignity, safety, and the basic needs for survival. So the core demand, that is the program of the poor, is everyone's basic needs for survival must be met. Everyone's. In the words of the Poor People's Campaign today, everybody's got a right to live. So simple and so revolutionary. So today we are experiencing the convergence of two forces. First of all, a spontaneous uprising triggered by the murder of a black man by the police, yet another murder by hyper-militarized police, and number two, a call to unite with the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival on June 20th, 2020, for a mass Poor People's Assembly and moral march on Washington. Now, as you know, this was to be an in-person march. We had all planned to travel from across the country to be there in on June 20th, but this has had, for our safety, to be converted to a digital event. And we are expecting that at least 500,000 people will be involved in that, including, I hope, everyone on this call. This uprising, the first point, which is now global, has inspired not just black folks, but people of all colors to challenge the militarized police. But not only the police. The challenge is more fundamentally to a system that foments and indeed requires inequality and poverty for its successful operation. The protesters' core demands are safety, dignity, and the meeting of everyone's basic human needs. That is the program of the poor. And as long as this demand holds, we are seeing the leadership of the poor. The Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival, is also grounded in the program of the poor, like the uprisings that are taking place across the globe today. Inspired by the unfinished revolution of values called for Dr. King, the campaign seeks to make those values concrete in policies and programs to meet the basic human needs of everyone who lives in this country. Moreover, the campaign has thoroughly documented in its Poor People's Moral Budget that it is possible to do so. The PPC is building a movement for this moment. And earlier in the call, one of our members mentioned Phyllis Bennis from the Institute for Policy Studies. Phyllis Bennis and the Institute for Policy Studies have been working in league with the Poor People's Campaign for the last 2 to 3 years, developing a budget, this budget that we referred to as the Poor People's Moral Budget, that demonstrates clearly how even today all of these demands can be met. So 2 years ago, as I said earlier, Wolf US was among the first organizations to partner with the campaign, because whatever concerns and commitments that drew us to Wolf, whatever our concerns that drew us here to this house, they were embraced and advanced by the campaign. Nearly every chapter participated in one way or another in those 40 days of nonviolent civil disobedience. We sang, we studied, we created our banner, and we marched behind it, uniting to end systemic racism, poverty, militarism, and ecological devastation, the four principal themes of the Poor People's Campaign. Of course, we knew we were on a very long road to peace and freedom. We did know 2 years ago that demagoguery would challenge democracy, and the four evils we dared to challenge were being released upon us by corporate and congressional leaders like the toxins that they are. But we could not know that in the midst of a pandemic, the dispossessed would rise up by the hundreds of thousands, cry enough, and demand an end to the interlocking injustices of systemic racism, poverty, militarism, and ecological devastation. The powers that be call the rising a riot. Those in the streets remind us that, as Martin Luther King said, a riot is the language of the unheard. So in this very pregnant moment, so full of danger and possibilities, that we're asking all Wolf members to participate in the Poor People's Campaign, this mass Poor People's Assembly and Moral March on Washington. During this, the largest ever digital mass meeting, voices of the 140 million poor and low-wealth people in this country will be heard. It's our job as partners of the campaign to amplify those voices and make sure that they are heard. This event is not a pity party for poor people, folks, but a reach for power, the revolutionary power that Dr. King challenged us to organize when he said, "The dispossessed of this nation, the poor, both white and Negro, live in a cruelly unjust society. They must organize a revolution against the injustice, not against the lives of the persons who are their fellow citizens, but against the structures through which the society is refusing to take the means which have been called for and which are at hand to lift the load of poverty. There are millions of poor people in this country who have very little or even nothing to lose. If they can be helped to take action together, they will do so with a freedom and a power that will be a new and unsettling force in our complacent national life." Wolf members are a part of this new and unsettling force because the program of the poor is our program to build an economy and a society that guarantees human rights for all, for safety, dignity, equality, for the basic needs for survival, and for peace and freedom. So on June 2020, you can be part of the digital mass meeting simply by registering. There is a Wolf-specific link that you can use to register. It's in Dorothy Vansos' article. It will be in an e-news that's going out from Darien tomorrow. We'll make sure that you have it. It will be on the website. You can also you can participate live in this event on the Wealth website, because we're going to be co-linking it. And if you are unable to participate in the actual two-hour event, it will be broadcast twice by MSNBC. So this Mass Poor People's Assembly and Moral March on Washington will surely inform you and strengthen your resolve to go on, and that will very much be needed. As Reverend Dr. Barber often reminds us, this is a movement, not a moment. But it is our moment. It is most definitely a moment to build a movement, one that we have always been a part of and must continue to do so. It is not the end of the campaign. It is a portal. It is a portal to the world that we've been longing for a long time and helping to build. So be part of this opening on 6/20/20, please, on our website, on MSNBC, and then stay tuned for the next phase of the campaign. Thank you very much, and I want to turn it over to now to Jan Quarterman, our digital social media coordinator for the campaign, for the campaign, and she'll tell you about some of the things that have been happening and that that will be happening in the very near future. Jan, thank you so much for stepping forward to do this work, and we're all learning how to do it, so hang in there, and please tell us what you've been up to.
Okay, great. Thank you. Well, this was really a update. It's very, very opportune time for this meeting, so thank Mary Beth for scheduling it so carefully, but I have three things that I want to update you on that I wasn't able to tell you when we met 2 weeks ago because they weren't done yet. The first one is that we now have a banner on our Facebook page, and it's Everybody's Got a Right to Live, and we each took a letter, and you'll see several people you know there. Our president, Darien, is there. Mary Beth is there. So please take a look at it. And it's also something for you to use. So please copy and paste it on your own branches, Facebook pages, or anywhere you wish. It invites people to join the Mass Assembly Moral March. It gives them the website to sign up for the event. And importantly, it has it right up front there as well as a partner. So that's the first thing that I'm pleased to be able to update you on. And again, that's that banner on Facebook, on our Facebook page. I also want to let you know that we will be cross-posting through the campaign so that when we're live, we'll see everything on our Facebook page. And there are certainly other ways that you can get connected too, but we're taking the extra step with the campaign's help of doing this cross-posting. So it's another reason, if you haven't already, to go in and like our page so that you get invitations to all the events on the 20th. And importantly, and I don't think they even know what they are yet. The last time we talked to them, they didn't. We do have a call tomorrow and a call next Monday and a call the following Friday, but they have indicated that there will be a couple of other live events that might be of interest to us before the 20th, so sometime between now and the 20th. So again, please go, if you haven't already, go out and like our Facebook page so that you're aware of those and can take advantage of those. The third thing, and we just decided to do this today, Mary and I talked about it briefly today, and we've already got it set up. We're going to be showing We Cried Power. We're going to do that on Thursday, the 18th. 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. Just going to tell you a little bit about it. We Cried Power is a 45-minute documentary that tells the story of the origins of the Poor People Campaign, a national call for a moral revival, inspired by the work of Dr. Martin Luther King over 50 years ago by chronicalizing the work of Reverend Barber and Reverend Theo Harris during the campaign's first 40 days. So I've had a chance to look at the trailer, and I'll get it out on our Facebook page so you can see that too. But if you're available, please mark your calendar for Thursday, June 18th, 1 p.m. Pacific to 4 p.m. Eastern. So those are the three things that I wanted to tell you about. And I just now, Michael, just now, or not just now, right before the call started, so about 5:59 Central Time, I sent you the link and everything. So if you have a way to put that up or help me put it up, we can get the details of joining viewing this film. We're going to ask people to take an hour because we'll have a brief intro of a 45-minute film, and then we'll do a little bit of discussion afterwards on Thursday for that We Cry Power. So, three great things, and thank you for giving me the time today.